We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrand. Joining me over there, the king of the Midwest, as he is known by so many, the one and only Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
I'm good. I felt that Saturday was very fun. I felt like week five was extremely fun, and I have a good amount of caffeine. The cold brew is hitting nicely. Like, I timed it pretty well. Okay. I showered, Ty. I'm wearing a clean shirt, as you can at some point see. And I'm ready to talk about, it was a pretty rambunctious, wild, unexpected, and there was an element to Saturday, to week five. I don't know if you've ever gotten dinner before going to a game or before going to a play or something where you feel like real rushed, real like, the timing doesn't feel right. You sit down, you're like, actually, we're ready to order. We'll have the calamari. He's going to have the tomahawk. I'm going to have the enchiladas. The fact that we had Auburn, Georgia, almost just right away as soon as SEC football started, the fact that we had Texas TCU, the fact that we had all these Texas A&M and Alabama right away, we're just like, all right, we got to get it in. That's the feeling. That's the emotion I felt watching the craziness of week five. I don't know if you felt the same way.
Well, we called it Sucker Punch Saturday.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
I'll be damned if there weren't some sucker punches, Dan. I saw someone write in said you could have gone something brewing Saturday.
Sure.
Could have done that as well. So got a bunch of action to get through. You know, the one theme I think that continues to pop its head out from week to week now is just the amount of penalties. I watched a couple games yesterday where it felt like there were 30 penalties in the first half.
Yeah.
Maybe this is going to be one of the observations, the lasting observations that we take away from playing football through a pandemic, but a lot of undisciplined football out there. There was one game that featured 8 interceptions, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. So welcome back to the show. It is Sunday. It is October the 4th. I'm Ty. He's Dan. This is the Solid Verbal. For those of you who are just joining us for the first time, welcome on in. Thank you so much for stopping by. Over the next hour or so, we're going to do our best to recap all the action that was in week five college football action. If you don't follow along on our social media feeds, you can do so on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, and of course out on the YouTubes where you can watch some of the video product that we're, you know, trying to trot out there. It's solidverbal.com/thesolidverbal. You can also go on out to our website at solidverbal.com, and in the upper right hand corner, just mouse over where it says listen. Listen, you can find all the links there. All the links there if you want to subscribe in your podcasting app of choice. And while you're there, if you want to get all the latest updates, sign up for our newsletter. Dan, It's free to sign up. We're not going to spam you. We've been doing it once every Friday. All you got to do is give us your email, and we promise to be as responsible as possible.
Yes. And if you're curious as to what we look like while recording a full show, if everything works out technologically, you can mosey on over to youtube.com/thesolidverbal to watch this very simulcast. We have our laptops. I'm showing off mine right in front of me. So if our eyes are wandering, it turns out we didn't memorize every single number from what happens, you know, a few hours before. But let's hope that this is something that we're going to be doing moving forward. Stay tuned, Ty.
Stay tuned. That's what we call in the business a tease. Shall we get to reverbs, Dan?
Yeah.
Reverbs 408 Verbal One, folks called in. I got a Slack note from our good friend Ryan, who cuts these up for us at 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Oh, no.
He's like, I got him. I got him up in the Dropbox. So
whoa,
he was keyed hustler. Up and ready to go. I've got him loaded up on the soundboard. Let's have a listen. Here are your week five reverbs.
Hi, Tyler. It's me again, TCU. Call me.
Hi, this is Susan from Garden City, Kansas.
Hey, guys. Kevin from Atlanta. Long time footballer, first time caller.
Hi. Dan. This is Jason from San Antonio.
This is Nathan calling from Gothenburg, Sweden.
Hi, Dan and Ty. This is Zach calling in from Silver Spring, Maryland. But I'm Arkansas, born and raised. Woo, pig. First SEC win in 21 games. Barry Odom is a wizard.
Hello, Dan and Ty. This is Chris calling from the paradise that is Tampa. You know, Mississippi State in consecutive weeks have ended the conference's longest winning streak and the conference's longest losing streak. I would say that's because of 2020, but it's Mississippi State.
This is Larry in Springdale. Victory formation in Starkville. Woo pig suey.
Hey guys, so Virginia Tech today won a game where they were down 70 defensive backs to quarantine and their starting quarterback went 9 of 25. I think that counts as winning your clunk.
Hey guys, this is Charlie calling you from Eugene. I just want to say I'd like to drive in my truck.
He likes to drive in his truck.
Auburn sucks.
Auburn sucks.
It doesn't get much better as a Georgia fan than to hear Kirk Herbstreit play the pity card. In reference to Auburn quarterback Bo Nix, Kirk said, God bless him, he's been running for his life from those Georgia defenders. Now that is sweet.
Bo Nix, more like Bo can't get past the sticks. Go Dawgs.
Bo Nix, more like Bo only scored 6. Go Dawgs.
Destin Bennett, the mailman. Got a little bit of Baker Mayfield in him.
Could you guys show some love for Zach Wilson, BYU quarterback, as a dude?
I had no idea that Zubaz was still a clothing apparel company. Good on them for getting a sponsorship deal with Memphis.
Ole Miss has just knocked off the Kentucky Wildcats. Wildcats, that is. It should be Wildcats because of the doink. The old doinker.
Kentucky football. Inventing ways to lose since 1880. I don't know. I'm just dead inside.
This is Bubba in Boone, North Carolina, and after 21 days off, the Tar Heels are back.
Hey guys, just calling to confirm that Coastal Carolina is the best team in the Big 12.
Forward, Max Duggan, dude alert.
This is Ezra Fort Worth calling to let you know, just in case you wondered. The Frogs proved it again. Texas is still Texas. Go Frogs!
That's what I love about these Texas TCU games, man. I get older and they stay the same result. All right, all right, all right. Go Frogs.
Hey, Ty. It's me, TCU. Yeah, that was me last night outside your window with the boombox over my head blaring Peter Gabriel. I miss you, Ty. I miss you.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Ty. It's Evan from Stillwater, and Oklahoma State's the only undefeated team in the Big 12. Go, folks.
Hi, Dan. Ty. This is Caleb from Oklahoma. And I just wanted to say, I think I finally know what it feels like to be a Texas fan.
Does Oklahoma have a non-transfer quarterback problem?
Hey, guys. It's Warner from Roswell, Georgia. I just got to tell you, we've had some amazing weather over the past couple days. It's been really enjoyable. What am I thinking about? Of course it's been great. It's Brocktober.
This is Brocktober.
Hey, this is Megan from Atlanta, and I just want to make a public statement against the word squirting for all football announcers when they're discussing the way that a running back gets through a large group of people. I've heard the word squirted through, squirtin' through, like 7 times today, and I really want to go on a crusade to make that stop happening.
Thank you, Megan, for that PSA. Yeah. an important PSA. Thank you, sir, for the Zubez reference, which is always welcome.
Of course.
On these here solid verbals. And thank you to all the noble verballers out there, far and wide. A lot of Auburn hate, Dan. I like the guy who broke out into a little falsetto for us.
Of course.
Bo Nix only scored 6 is, I think, pretty inventive. Maybe not if you're an Auburn fan, but
we'll get there. Yeah,
we'll get there. General takeaways from week 5. If you would have called into the Reverbs, what would you have said?
I can't wait now that I have an Oregon schedule to watch my team play football. Maybe something like that. No, it was the things that stood out to me, of course, were the endings of a number of these games and the beginning, I suppose, of Georgia Auburn. But the fact that we had so many interesting games come down to the wire, headlined by Iowa State taking down Oklahoma, the first time Oklahoma's lost a couple in a row in a while.
Yep.
That to me was the takeaway, that it was the first week that I felt an electricity about college football throughout the day. I would say that was my takeaway.
Sucker Punch Saturday.
Which is tough, by the way, with no or only some capacity crowds.
It's true, and I think they've done a good job. Now, I've seen on some of the broadcasts where they go out of their way to say, we're not pumping up the microphone volume at all.
Right.
In the crowds. They're definitely pumping up the microphone volume. So they are definitely pumping up They're getting creative in the truck. They're letting the dudes in the truck explore the studio space, if you will, and try to work it out. But I think the product, at least as a home viewer, outside of the penalties and I think some uncharacteristic mistakes for week 5, it feels largely the same. It's, as we've said for a few weeks running now, it's a welcome degree of normalcy in an otherwise, very quirky time. So,
yeah.
Where do you want to start? Should we start with Auburn and Georgia, since that was sort of the featured billing?
Yeah, I think we start with Auburn, Georgia, and Oklahoma, Iowa State. Let's start with the night action, and then I think we can break it down by conference.
Georgia 27, Auburn 6, Dan. We both took Auburn here, and I think it's because we like the defense. We weren't sure about Stetson Bennett and that Georgia quarterback situation, so I personally may have had a few shekels on this one.
Oh, no, Ty.
I might have.
I'm sorry.
And so there I am. Mm-hmm. As you said, the nightcap, had a long day of watching football and doing other more human things earlier in the day. And I'm watching Georgia run Auburn into the ground in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, look, this is the same thing that Auburn did a week ago against Kentucky. They're going to flip the switch. They're going to be fine. No big deal. Bo Nix is going to bring them back.
Sure.
And then Stetson Bennett threw that freaking dime to George Pickens in the beginning of the second quarter.
Oh, yeah.
And
that
I'm
was
like,
beautiful.
This thing's over. This thing is over. I don't know where you want to start here, whether it's with Stetson Bennett, the Georgia offensive line, the whole Georgia defense. I'm going to let you pick, but I feel like the main billing, the top dog, the talking point here has to be one of those three things, because it was a really sound effort from the dogs.
Yeah, I mean, we can keep it pretty simple. Georgia pushed Auburn around for 4 quarters and found something that worked, and that was going directly at Auburn on the ground, and they stuck with it. It really does help when you have Zamir White, James Cook, and then later on, Kendall Milton, the all-crazy recruit who is coming down to Georgia, I believe from California. And so they were able to hammer them on the ground. To see Auburn not be able to fill lanes and protect anything on the ground was a bit of a surprise given how well they've developed players up front, but they were replacing a lot, as we know, up front, most notably Derek Brown and Marlon Davidson. So I like that Todd Monken was sort of testing things, not relying on Stetson Bennett too much early on, but Stetson Bennett made plays. If you remember that, I think it was a 3rd-and-10 blitz that he rolled out of and hit a receiver in the red zone. And then you mentioned the dime he threw to George Pickens. He threw a deep pass. He did underthrow it, but he completed it. And so that seems important. And on the Auburn end, this offensive line is a mess. Bo Nix was running for his life. I mean, the tackles especially were just getting beaten like a drum.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how much Auburn could have done, but their offense just looks like it always does, for better or worse, and Georgia's figured it out. And so the lack of counterpunch from Auburn, knowing that they had offensive line issues, which I'm sure they did going into this game, that was a bit surprising to me, but... I mean, Tank Bigsby was a nice silver lining.
Oh, man.
That
Tank,
he is
going to be a superstar. Even though the stats don't really tell that story if you look at the box score. But
he's
if
really,
you watch
really
the game, he's got a shake to him, man. He's going to be really, really good. He's only a freshman.
A squirt to him, if you will.
A little squirt. Just a little bit. Sorry, Megan.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, that was the takeaway, that Auburn looked predictable. Auburn looked unable to protect Bo Nix. And Bo Nix still made some plays, but... not enough, not anywhere near enough, not anywhere near enough in the opening stanza as Georgia came out and just looked so corrected from where they were against Arkansas. And so now, to me, the question, this is a bigger picture question, maybe we do a video about this, maybe this is a talking point for a UFO show, is the ceiling of Georgia's offense with Stetson Bennett, who looks pretty good, but if we are talking about Georgia in the context of playoff and the context of Alabama, and we'll learn about what Georgia looks like against Alabama and Florida, the three superpower looking teams right now in the SEC, it's what does Georgia look like if they need 10 points in 4.5 minutes they can't run the ball? That to me becomes the next level question, because the competence is there. I think we can check that box off again with what he looked like against Auburn.
Sure.
It's now what does the best, absolute best maximized version of Stetson Bennett when it counts look like? And so that's going to be a fascinating question moving forward.
Yeah, and on the Auburn side, not to make this all about Georgia, but Bo Nix clearly missed some passes out there. He had guys open for big gainers. He just sort of airmailed them. Hopefully he's able to shore that up. But at least in this game with a lot of pressure, as you said, against a really sound defense, it was slim pickings, no pun intended.
And the moments are going to be few and far between against a defense as good as Georgia's. And so if you have those receivers and those passes available to you, situationally, you have to be pretty close to perfect if you want to hang with Georgia. And they weren't in that vicinity. They weren't in that county.
And that was Bo Nix's thing last year. Despite some of, I think, the bad, there were some moments where, you know, you're looking at him thinking, okay, this is what people saw in Bo Nix. He's still young. This is still a very young season, very awkward season. I look forward to seeing how he can progress throughout the course of the year, but wasn't his night against the Georgia Bulldogs. Final score 27-6. Georgia at home next week against Tennessee. That should be an interesting game. I'm sure we'll talk about it on the Wednesday preview show. It's going to be their third straight game, against a ranked opponent. Auburn, by the way, home against Arkansas. We'll talk about Arkansas a little bit later. They had themselves a bit of a day as well.
Do you want to put on a nice cozy flannel? Perhaps grab some hot cocoa?
I do.
And welcome ourselves into Brocktober.
Watch out, Dan, because strange things happen in Brocktober.
They do.
Like Oklahoma losing consecutive games for the first time since 1999, Dan.
You hate when you have to start digging into the 90s to find the senses, Ty. You do hate digging into the 90s. There were a couple. I mean, you look at what Kentucky was almost able to accomplish. That opened them up to like the first time a team rushed for blah-bitty-blahs.
You know, in a month that is sort of known for clever disguises.
Spooky.
Are we sure that Mike Stoops isn't out there wearing an Alex Grinch mask? Are we sure?
No, Ty.
That he didn't just like sneak onto the field and wear one of those Mission Impossible things that makes them look real.
The peel off the face.
The peel off. Yeah, I mean, they got to go in like the corner and peel it off, and it looks very painful. But are we sure?
I would argue Oklahoma is screwing up in unique ways these past couple of years, because they started out pretty well last year. But no, I mean, there are, you know, the coverage busts and the tackling issues.
Man.
No, they're pretty Stoopsian. I will tip my cap to you.
They are Stoopsian. So the Sooners lead 17-6 early in the second quarter. But then Iowa State answers with a late touchdown run right before half and make it 17-13. And then from that point forward, it was neck and neck the rest of the way. You know, definitely unfair to some extent to frame this out entirely from the perspective of Oklahoma, because it's a huge deal for Iowa State and Matt Campbell. But let me start with Oklahoma, because that is what's going to get the headlines.
Yeah.
What is clear to me is that they were good enough at quarterback last couple years, let's say, to just give it to whoever, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, even Jalen Hurts to some extent.
No, just to a good extent, yeah.
Let him go out there, let him make a play. Spencer Rattler can really spin it, I'm told. And he might have
You've
a better...
seen him throw a ball. You know he can.
He can really just... He can spin it, Dan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He might have a better arm than all three of those guys. But all three of those guys were much more of a finished product at this point in time. And they had, I think, a better supporting cast on offense. So the calculus is different this season. And if the defense is going to do this thing where they're just missing tackles, that's not going to help. So it's just different. It is different this year. Oklahoma still has more talent than 95% of the programs out there around college football. But Spencer Rattler is probably not mature enough as a quarterback to be able to win games for them the way that some others have. Look, ultimately, they're going to be fine. This is like a top 15 caliber team nationally by the time all is said and done. The Big 12 race is very interesting now in light of this loss, but we can talk about the context a little bit later. The point is that this is not your, brother's Oklahoma, or not
your slightly older sister's Oklahoma.
I think that's correct. Right. So that's where I'm at with them. I like Oklahoma as a team. I feel great for Iowa State here, given what they were able to do. It's a huge deal for them. But the Oklahoma thing, honestly, I don't know if any of us saw it coming. We really didn't see it coming. We were all gung-ho on, look, it's just going to be another year. Lincoln Riley, he's got the magic wand. And
right.
It turns out it affects everybody. It affects everybody when you have that kind of turnover at quarterback.
I am going to go look at the positivity from this game, Ty.
Please do so.
That is Iowa State. Iowa State, you are wallowing in the mud and muck of busted coverage and a game-sealing interception. There may have been a little bit of holding involved in that coverage.
Just a little bit.
Iowa State and the fight that they showed, the literal fight, if you watched Breece Hall near the end of that game, and that was he was running into stacked boxes and coming out with 8, 9, 20, 30-yard runs.
Yeah.
He was incredible to watch. Brock Purdy came through in a really impressive way. I think he was throwing like 10 yards per attempt or something like that. He was connecting downfield. It was nice to have Charlie Kohler. I mean, he's been back for a couple games.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that name.
Chaz Kohler.
Yep, thank you.
And then Iowa State did a really nice job defensively against the Oklahoma run, which is where if you watch, I mean, essentially Lincoln Riley and Oklahoma are in the attention business. They're convincing defenses to pay attention to certain things and then exploiting what they cannot pay attention to. And sometimes that's a number two or number three receiver, because the number one guy, whoever it's been in recent years, D.D. Westbrook, Hollywood Brown, they're getting the attention. So the fact that Oklahoma cannot draw legitimate attention to its run game, they don't have dudes back there right now. The offensive line has not been the same where it was these past couple of years. And Spencer Rattler, for all as many plays as he makes, and he had drops, he had issues that he couldn't control, that throwing into double coverage, including Greg Eisworth, who was an All-American caliber defensive back, that's an issue at the end of games, that he can be prone to making that killer mistake late. Whereas Iowa State, that kick return was incredible late in the game to set up a touchdown. And Brock Purdy, we got good Brock. We've seen bad Brock. We got good Brock. We got good Brock at the end of the game. And I mean, yeah. I like to call the broccoli casserole we eat at Thanksgiving the money Brock. We got money Brock.
We did get
money Brock at the end of this game. And so even if Iowa State loses out for the rest of the month, Brocktober has been sealed, Ty.
Brocktober, it's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Brocktober. So Iowa State loses to Louisiana, beats Oklahoma.
Go figure. Just the way we all drew it up. All right.
Yep.
Big win. 37-30 was your final in favor of Iowa State. The other big notable result in the Big 12 was TCU 33, Texas 31. Texas now 1-6 against TCU in their last seven meetings. I believe 2-7 since TCU joined up with the Big 12. I am unable to talk about TCU objectively. I think we've established as much over the last decade of podcasting. So let me tell you about Texas, and then you can tell me all about Max Duggan and TCU.
Negative Nancy over here. Okay.
Negative Nancy, yes. 12 penalties for Texas, including some really, really cost ones that negated a 96-yard kick return to open the game. And another long reception by Keontae Ingram that was called back. They also had a targeting foul against Juwan Mitchell, their starting middle linebacker. He got booted. Still a fair amount of missed tackles on defense, Dan. I was under the impression that Chris Ash was coming in to try and correct that. He hasn't done it yet.
That's not fully fair, but continue.
Okay, well, whatever. But we still got guys out there losing matchups out wide. There is a lot for that defense to shore up. Yes, no, agree?
Yes.
Okay.
Comma, but all
fine.
Capitals,
that's fine.
Bold, italic. Yeah.
That's fine.
2020 and the practice and the reps and everything, but continue.
You can say that for every team. Every team's in the same boat there.
Totally true.
But Texas does look sloppy on defense, sloppier than I think both you and I expected. The bright spot, if I'm picking one out on defense, would be the pass rush, because the pass rush did have a pretty good game against TCU. That was an area coming into focus.
Hey, they flattened Max Duggan. They went after him. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. That was an area that came into focus, you know, when they brought Chris Ash on, something that I know he spoke at length about wanting to try and correct. And it did seem like they had a pretty good outing here. I will shift it to this, though, on the Texas side. Four touchdowns for Sam Ehlinger, but 17 of 36 with a pick. They sort of abandoned the run altogether in the third quarter before coming back to it in the fourth, which I don't fully understand, but whatever. The real kick in the pants was with 2:32 left. Keontae Ingram gets them all the way down to like the 1 yard line and then fumbles as they're trailing by four, trying to drive for a go ahead touchdown.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. The Red River Shootout should be interesting next week because teams are in a very similar spot. But Texas is also right now in this weird state of limbo where it doesn't feel like they've fully gotten it all together yet.
Yeah, I mean, that all of that is fair. Also, TCU won. TCU is good. They were balanced on offense. Max Duggan was pretty strong through the air. Needs to be a little bit better downfield, but picked up a ton of crucial yards and points on the ground. TCU had running lanes. TCU pushed Texas around on the ground. And that was fun to see because we've seen some disappointing TCU offenses these past couple years. So it seems like there is at least a partial bit of mojo that has been rediscovered by TCU. And yes, you're right. Texas had coverage busts. Texas had major tackling issues. Texas had run fit issues. But I think you do. I mean, for TCU to go on the road, for them to be dealing with the issues that they've dealt with at quarterback recently, and they found their guy in Max Duggan, obviously, and he had health issues and that was up in the air. And to keep rolling against Texas, I don't know if you saw the Tom Herman quotes going into this matchup where it was like, Gary Patterson doesn't do much. And he meant it as a compliment, you know, that he just like, he does what he does, but maybe it lit a fire under TCU on some level. But the TCU defense did a really nice job with a couple of exceptions of keeping Texas's offense in front of them. Sam Ehlinger was not able to succeed a lot downfield. And that's a big difference. When Texas has been able to do that, they're virtually unbeatable. And they have been able to do that at times these past couple of years. So the TCU defense came to play. And yes, it was a very strange ending with that fumble on the goal line. But at least TCU set themselves up once again to be in position to win. They did not take themselves out of it. So yeah. on a certain level, it's win your clunkers because they very well may have lost this game. And they escaped. And Gary Patterson continues his ownership over the 40 acres. The deed is his.
The deed is his. Again, your final score here was 33-31 in favor of the Horned Frogs. Again, Red River Shootout next weekend. We'll preview that one on the Wednesday show. Let's go through quickly the other three games in the Big 12.
Yeah.
Your lone undefeated team in the Big 12 is now the Oklahoma State Cowboys, Dan. They won.
This is true. I just put my fingers up like guns up, but that was just more guns of a Pistol up. Pete homage. Yeah.
47-7 over Kansas. They looked a lot better here. They really did. Now, that's easy to say against a team like Kansas, granted.
And you made it look good, Ty.
Thank you. Chuba Hubbard, Tylan Wallace both really shined in this one. Shane Illingworth was good. The defense is very, very stout. This was the game they needed. This was like the proverbial neck crack, right? That they needed to just sort of work out the kinks. Now they just need to get Spencer Sanders back. I saw that Mike Gundy said prior to the game, he's at about 80%, something like that. So they're off next week, and then they go through a stretch of Baylor, Iowa State, and Texas. It'd be nice to get him back on the flip side of their bye week. So we'll see what comes of it, but no huge surprises there that they would win by 40. I think I locked up Oklahoma State. That was one of my three. And
smart.
21 points just felt like far too few in a game against the Jayhawks.
Yeah, the only thing really fascinating to me is, so after what they have a bye week next week, then it's at Baylor, who I think we can, you know, mark down a little bit after their loss, especially that offense. Iowa State, Texas, Kansas State, Oklahoma is the stretch for Oklahoma State. And if Spencer Sanders struggles, either physically or just in playing, if he's not looking great, if he has interception issues once again, there's a little bit of Shane Illingworth proof of concept that could have some people saying,
POC?
Yeah. Let's see what Shane's got. I don't know. Let's see what Shane's got.
Fair enough. K-State and Texas Tech. 31-21 K-State wins. Both quarterbacks got hurt.
Correct.
I didn't watch a lick of this game, Dan. I'm not going to
pretend. I scrubbed through it this morning.
Yeah.
I know you didn't watch it because you have not mentioned, I think it's Henry Colomby. I forget the pronunciation. You didn't mention his hair, which is glorious, Ty.
Yeah.
He originally was at Utah State with Matt Wells, and he transferred to Texas Tech. So in watching this, Henry Colomby, it's something like that, throws a nice ball. Texas Tech, not enough because they don't have Deuce Vaughn wearing their uniform.
Right.
But Kansas State, a really nice non-letdown spot for Kansas State to move on to. A lot of new names. Josh Youngblood still was not available for the offense this week, but a bunch of dudes on defense making plays. Kansas State, the trajectory feels, it's not spiking, but to go from beating Oklahoma into holding on against a pretty good Texas Tech team, I like where this program's heading.
West Virginia 27, Baylor 21 in double overtime.
Don't watch this game. No.
Did you see the big news around this game, though, Dan?
Maybe. What are you referring to?
Big news around this game. Broke late. Saw it on Twitter. ESPN studio anchor Matt Berry is all aboard the Chaz train, baby.
Yeah. Chaz Brewer.
He was doing his highlights, started talking about Charlie, knee Chaz Brewer. This is a little bit how our friendship with Adam Amin got started, isn't it?
It is, although there were milkshake allusions with Adam.
I don't. Here's the thing. If Matt's listening, first off, hello. Thank you.
Hey, how's it going?
I don't think we can communicate directly now. I think it just needs to be through a series of like innuendo.
Oh, interesting.
Subtweets. And so what I'm going to do on the Wednesday show is I'm going to give him an Easter egg that he can drop in, much like we did with Adam.
I like this.
And I'm going to see if Matt's a true believer in this or not. Because the Chaz, the Charlie, the chuckles, the whatever to Chaz conversion is something that can unite us in a time of division. So,
Ty, you're so needy for basic cable love. I love it. You're so needy, but you know what?
Yeah.
If you're listening, Matt Berry, wear an orange tie next Saturday.
No. I get to pick.
Okay, you can
It's pick. My converter tool. I get to pick.
Okay, fine. Let's spend a very short amount of time talking about Baylor, West Virginia.
I read to you a direct quote from Neil Brown, West Virginia coach. Quote, "It wasn't a thing of beauty, but offensively, we didn't lose the game." Thanks, Neil. You know what, Dan?
Yeah.
In the kingdom of rhetorical devices, the backhanded self-compliment is something of a white tiger.
Yeah, it's great. He could have just said, "We won our clunker."
We won our
saved.
Won our clunker. Yeah, the defense was good for West Virginia. We'll give him that.
Yeah, and that's with a new defensive coordinator that came in late. Well, to the position, and West Virginia kind of bad on offense, but Baylor was full on bad on offense, and it's better to be a Mountaineer. Better to get the win. They have a winning record, and they move forward. It was an ugly game, OT, but I suppose, you know, Sam James is fun to watch, and whatever is going to happen in the Big 12 is going to be strange all year long. It's going to be a three-point swing in some direction all year long. There's going to be weird overtime games, and West Virginia, another win. Great. Love it. Pile them up.
Let's move back over to the SEC.
Also, Chaz Brewer.
Chaz Brewer, Chaz Brewer, Chaz Brewer.
It's a tough watch. It's a tough watch, Ty. And I don't know if it's a health thing. I don't know if it's a scheme thing. I don't know if it's a combination thereof, but their ceiling does not appear to be. You might have to duck. It might be like a Malkovich third and a half floor situation for the Baylor offense for the next few weeks. I don't like it.
I told you I wasn't a Baylor fan before the start of the year. And
I know.
Chaz was running for his life the entire game.
Yeah, he was.
Six sacks or something like that. The line did not help that Baylor offense at all. 11 tackles for loss. Yeah. So they got to get better along that offensive line to keep him upright because he's probably
next game
best player. All right. Over in the SEC, let's talk about Arkansas 21, Mississippi State 14. Remember all the stuff that you heard about zone coverage against Mike Leach.
Mm-hmm.
All of it. And all the stuff we told you about Barry Odom, he's been in the Big 12. He knows how to defend Mike Leach in the air raid. Here you go. This was it. This was exactly that.
Yeah.
They basically kept everything in front of him. Yeah, they let him take the dink and dunks. Nothing that would kill him. Lo and behold, three picks for KJ Costello.
Mm-hmm.
We had Mississippi State going 6 of 17 on third downs. Arkansas just had their number the whole game. And then on the flip side, offensively, this wasn't like a shining offensive performance for the Hogs, but Felipe Franks was efficient enough. He made smart plays with the ball throughout the game. They did have two fumbles. They were able to overcome that. And after a full week of singing the praises of what Mike Leach could do in the SEC, we have this, a 7-point loss to Arkansas. I believe it's Arkansas's first SEC win in 3 years, which is not a good look at all for Mississippi
State. Since 2017,
And now we're entering into a weird space where Mississippi State is against Kentucky next week, which is another good defense that presumably will have things figured out going into this football game. And the one theme, I guess, that we keep having happen to us over and over again is that this is going to be a really weird year. And Mississippi State is just a playing their part in that larger context, Dan.
It's also the full Mike Leach experience where you take the good, you take the bad because you're getting both. You are absolutely going to get both within the same month, most likely. I didn't think it was going to happen this quickly, given the climb that I still think Arkansas has in front of them. But guys were in the correct position. Guys on defense caught the ball when it was thrown to them by KJ Costello. They did basic things that you are supposed to do as a growing, improving defense and offense. And Rakeem Boyd went out, I know, but Felipe Franks was clean, made plays. This wasn't an offense that put up a ton of yards and a ton of successful drives, but they capitalized in bigger moments and they followed a really smart game plan on defense that was put. It's going to be very hard for me if we're going to talk about Arkansas's defense all year long for me not to say Barry. I've been Barry. Around enough Long Island and New York and New Jersey. Barry.
Yeah.
Why aren't you more like your brother Barry? So I mean, it's thrilling. I mean, the more competitive teams we have in a conference, I don't know what this actually means for Arkansas's full season future, but to go on the road and play with a certain amount of confidence, especially after a promising start last week and then giving up a bunch of points to Georgia, all you can ask for in a year one is a buy-in. And that's what it looks like Arkansas has. They're going to take some major lumps. But for them to hold on like they did against Mississippi State, win the turnover battle. I think they turned over State four times. Yeah. It's just cool to see. I like increased competition. There's the word in my football. So thrilled with it.
Yeah. And the good news for Arkansas is because of weird virus circumstances, I think you only need to play like four games to qualify for a bowl.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Arkansas,
maybe,
big win.
Also,
big
maybe, win. Maybe Chad Morris is not great at calling an offense or running a team at because last night was not a great Chad Morris reputation night.
No,
both from the Auburn side and what Arkansas was immediately able to do once he left.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Let's go over to Alabama. Alabama wins 52-24 over Texas A&M. I caught a lot of this game on the radio, Dan.
Oh.
And it's very funny that we would now enter into this partnership with our friends over at Learfield IMG College, because people have asked, how do you do it? Like, how do you still be kind of normal? I'm not anywhere close to being kind of normal, but how do you still act that way and keep up to date with what's going on?
Maintain a marriage, clean a yard.
Yeah, exactly. I have for years listened to this radio program on Channel 84 on Sirius called the College Football Blitz. And I had no idea who did it. Now we're working more closely with Learfield IMG College. It turns out they do it. Mm-hmm. And it's literally been the secret weapon for a number of years now. It's sort of like their red zone channel on the radio.
Yeah.
They cut into like local broadcasts. Sometimes they cut on either side of the broadcast to kind of give you both sides of what's happening.
Yeah, so yeah. The full umami college football experience, a little sweet, a little sour,
yeah,
a little bitter. Yeah.
It's pretty wild. I have no idea how they do it. It's something like 56. I looked into this, 56 minutes of live play-by-play per hour, which is nuts.
Good ratio. Yeah.
Channel 84, if you're in the car, you can also listen on TuneIn. College Sports Now is the channel you want to look up. But they do a really good job, and they kept me informed on this game because there was a lot of scoring for Alabama. Look, it was close for like a quarter and a half, and then Bama pulled away. It was 35-14 at half, 42-17 after three quarters. I don't know if I have the crock-potting sound handy. I don't know if this even qualifies as a crock-potting or a flash fry or whatever.
I think Auburn was tenderized, perhaps more than any other team.
So regardless, this was a really impressive showing by Alabama. And I don't mean to be dismissive here with regard to the Tide. I just don't know what to say about them at this point. This was an effortless win against a top 15 caliber opponent. Mac Jones was good for touchdowns. It's clear that his receivers in space are very good. The defense did a masterful job shutting down, for the most part, a pretty good Texas A&M offense. I don't know what else I could add to the conversation at this point that folks out there don't already know.
Well, Alabama lost two pretty significant receivers, and it looks like at least one of them might be replaced by John Metchie. Not a big dude, 5'11", 6 feet tall. I think he's from right around where you are in New Jersey, though.
Right.
And so that's, you know, good for Alabama for finding a dude to step in. Good for them. Mac Jones was sensational. I saw something like it was the sixth, I think Metchie himself, the sixth Alabama player since Steve Sarkisian took over the offense to score a 75-plus yard touchdown. And
wow,
not surprising, not surprising. The good news for Texas A&M, much in the way that we, I guess, feel about Tank Bigsby, it looks like they have a blossoming dude, I don't love that phrasing, in Anais Smith, an all-purpose weapon who has a good deal of burst, and if they can find interesting ways to use him moving forward, it becomes a pretty scary situation for a Texas A&M team that needs more scary situations, especially on offense. So that would be the silver lining from the Aggies. They just, you're right. It's a quarter and a half competition team with the best of the best. And it hasn't always been this way during the Jimbo era. I mean, we saw how good they were that one time against Clemson at home. It came down to it. But the Kellen Mond experience is a for better or worse experience. And to beat Alabama in 2019, 2020, 2021, I imagine you got to score 45 points. And that's not what I see from Texas A&M's offense in the near future against a really strong team.
Bama has Ole Miss next weekend, which will be interesting, if only because of the sidebar stories that we're going to have with it being Saban against Kiffin.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss won over Kentucky in overtime, 42-41. This is a fun game, actually. You want to talk about teams with two contrasting styles. In the last season and a half, Kentucky has basically turned itself into Navy 4.0. They're not running the option, but they will run you into the ground. And this one, 56 rushing attempts for 408 yards and 6 touchdowns. They're a prolific rushing team right now.
They got a hell of an offensive line. Yeah.
Very good. And Ole Miss couldn't stop it. They couldn't stop it. But Kentucky couldn't deal with the tempo that Ole Miss was running. Matt Corral had, I don't know what, 320, 4 touchdowns.
Super efficient. Yeah.
Through the air. Yeah. Led the team in rushing yardage as well. This is a fun game. A lot of offense here. Ole Miss went down 28-14 in the third quarter. And then they worked their way back into this thing with some long scoring drives. It just really looked to me like Kentucky was starting to wear down because of that tempo. Eventually, they get this one into overtime and Ole Miss wins. So a really nice win for Lane Kiffin on the road. Again, they've got Bama on deck. I'm not sure what to make of Kentucky moving forward. Kentucky doesn't have the easiest schedule. And I really like this team. I'm still intrigued by this team. I still believe in the rushing attack and mostly in the defense. But this wasn't a great defensive showing for them here against a team specifically with that level of tempo.
Do you know how hard it is to rush for 400 plus yards as a team and lose?
It's tough, right?
Do you understand the degree of difficulty? That's your ba 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 ba.
It's tough, right?
Yeah, Chris Rodriguez, Terry Wilson, Asim Rose, even Kavassier Smoke got in on the action, though I don't think he carried a bunch. The losing a game on a miss PAT and then what I would consider to be a very questionable non-call on that pick play that Ole Miss ran to win the game, you got to make more of an effort. I have no problem with pick plays in general. You got to sell that you're running a route. And I did not necessarily see that from Ole Miss, but they got away with it. They got the W. I don't know if it's some weird karma thing from the end of, I think it was the Kentucky-Mizzou game from 2 or 3 years ago. You got to finish those games. You have to kick the extra point. You have to be able to capitalize and win more moments. And Kentucky just isn't there. Ole Miss is going to have a very entertaining, strange season. They're going to lose some games by 45, 50 points, and they're going to hang in games they may not. They shouldn't be hanging in because of Matt Corral, because of some offensive creativity and talent. So another fascinating watch. If I'm just going from entertainment purposes, if I'm just coming from that perspective, Ole Miss is going to have a TV year.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. And yeah. I think we said that last week. Love them or hate them, they're going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
We'll see how that tempo works next week against Alabama. They're not going to beat Alabama, but the tempo
breaking news
will be interesting to watch, to say the least.
Yeah.
All right. Florida, 38, South Carolina, 24. Dan Mullen unsheathed his Kyle driver once more. To great effect, yet again.
I'm not happy with that phrase.
268 and four touchdowns for Kyle Trask. Calm throw, Kyle Trask. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
57 of those yards and two of those touchdowns went to Big Kyle Pitts, their star tight end. He now has six touchdowns, Dan, in two games. The defense, you know, whatever. Who cares about defense? When you got this kind of offense and the Kyle driver and the K-pop.
You're just giving them two nicknames at this point. Is that how?
Well, the offense is K-pop.
This?
The offense is K-pop.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Excuse
this me. Specific tool being unsheathed is the Kyle driver.
I'm not terribly
worried
about...
You hate
that
phrasing.
I know. I'm not crazy. I'm not terribly worried about Florida's defense, perhaps, in the way that you are. When you score a lot of points, you're going to give up some points just because the opportunities for just drives are going to be there. That's why I like the points per drive minus garbage time number. That's part of the Danalytics tool, armory of tools. Florida's incredible on offense. And I'm unsure how you can talk about the Florida offense without mentioning little number one who keeps making plays, Kadarius Toney.
Yeah.
He is a spectacular watch. And Kyle Pitts, I suppose, gets a lot of the attention because of the numbers and he'll be like a crazy draft pick. But Kadarius Toney, in terms of at any moment he can do something incredible, I love watching.
Maybe he's the K-pop.
Yeah, well, I mean, K-pop is all of the K's in accumulation, in aggregation.
Right. Or it could just be that specific one, Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, maybe he's K-pop. He does have a lot of pop to his game because he is that dangerous. So, yeah, South Carolina had a ton of drops early on in this game. They look more organized on offense, but the turnovers, the mental mistakes mounted up and can't do that on the road against what we believe to be, what, top four or five team? I know they're ranked, what, two or three, three or four, something like that right now. But, no, you have to play near perfect to upset a team of that caliber on the road. And South Carolina just got in their own way too often. They were going to win even if they were completing those passes, but maybe it comes down to something interesting in the fourth quarter. That's all I have. Florida's really good.
Florida's really good. It is fun to watch Colin Hill and Shai Smith. As I said a week ago,
fun to watch Shai Smith yesterday.
No, well, I worry that they're the only two guys on the offense. That's my...
They ran the ball all right at
times.
They
ran the ball okay, but I worry that that's the offense. That's going to be the whole thing. And
building the whole plane out of it.
Yeah, it's whatever.
They
also had a weird field goal.
That's what it says on South Carolina's poster. 2020 Gamecock
it's whatever.
Football. Whatever.
I did see that there was another week and another weird field goal situation for Will Muschamp.
Yep, of course.
Final score, 38-24 in favor of the Gators. Elsewhere in SEC action, we had Tennessee, 35-12 over Mizzou. I thought they looked a lot better this week, especially on third downs and key spots. Remember, a week ago, they were like 1 of 11 on third downs. This week, 6 of 11 to go along with 4 for 4 on fourth downs. Also, 5 for 5 with 5 touchdowns in red zone visits to Missouri territory. So, all very promising to see. The story here, again, you referenced it last week. I'll bring it up again. Eric Gray, Ty Chandler on the ground.
Yeah, real nice.
Collectively, 35 carries, 195 yards, and 2 touchdowns. If they can establish that rushing attack as the primary weapon here, it takes pressure off Jared Garantano.
Yeah.
They will be better for it. I don't know how they maintain this, but if they can establish that two-headed monster, they will be a better team for it. It's not an easy schedule by any stretch, but they're getting better at least between week one and week two, and that's promising.
You're burying the lead here, Ty, and that is Tennessee is 2-0.
Yes, well, true.
Would have loved to have been 2-0 last year. Tennessee is 2-0. I think you're right about the story here, and that is, I mean, the Eric Gray, Ty Chandler combination is great, and there's a really nice vision and burst between the two of them. I think Jared Garantano is fine. I think he's pretty good. And I don't say fine as a downgrade, as an insult. I think he's fine. I think he's pretty good. And that is more to refute your feelings about him. But the organization of the Tennessee offense is there. It's only going to get better. And the actual lead that we're bearing is Tennessee has a pretty fantastic offensive line.
Oh, it's great.
And it's going to take them places. They're not on the level of Florida, Georgia, but maybe they get some breaks against one of those teams. I don't know. Maybe there's a look-ahead situation. Maybe there's a key injury for them. Tennessee being organized on both sides of the ball. I mean, Henry To'o, he's an All-American caliber linebacker. That's something we already knew. But they're stacking up those names slowly but surely in Tennessee. They're recruiting really well. And then it was what? The young guy is Jalen Hyatt. He had nice catches. Josh Palmer was really good. So they give themselves options. And they committed basically no turnovers. So if Tennessee can get to a place where they're consistently not playing against themselves, becomes a pretty interesting Vol squad.
Henry To'o To'o is very quietly becoming the new Kirk Scirocco on this program.
It's going to take, it's a long, arduous hike up Scirocco Mountain in terms of references.
But Mount Scirocco.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do in honor of Tennessee going 2-0? I just realized there's a light behind me that I didn't turn on, but I can shade it orange. So let's see.
Orange. Did it go on? I have orange glow behind on my shoulders. I always believed.
There we go.
Okay.
It sort of looks orange. Now you can see it.
Great job. Great job,
Peeling
Tennessee.
Back.
Great job, Ty.
Peeling back the curtain here. All right. Finally, in the SEC, LSU 41, Vandy 7, a much better showing for LSU. 4 touchdown throws for Miles Brennan.
Uh-huh.
I think I locked. Did I lock up LSU? I don't know if I locked up LSU. I wanted to because this line seemed off kilter. And they won this one going away rather easily.
Yeah. No, LSU did a fantastic job. They got after Vandy really, really well. They spread the ball around on offense. John Emery, I think, was the lead ball carrier, the much-heralded recruit. He's now a sophomore. Liz, if we can get that confidence instilled in Miles Brennan, if he can feel like he's playing against Vandy every week, and I don't discount the ability to bounce back after a tough loss and a mistake-filled game with getting Vanderbilt, with getting what we used to believe was Arkansas or Kansas or any of these teams, these sort of lower-level teams, to get confidence back. I think it's a big deal. I think it's a big deal. And Terrace Marshall, I think, was the one who stood out wide for LSU. But it was really a team effort, a really nice bounce back as they find a rhythm going into what I'm sure is the meat of their schedule.
Let's move over to the ACC and close things out, Dan.
Yeah.
Well, did I call it or did I call it?
Be more specific.
Pitt was a 2-touchdown favorite.
We both called this.
On the preview, I liked them, you liked them.
Yeah.
I think I even said, I might come back and lock this one up.
Oh, you didn't love Pitt to lose. There was nothing about NC State. You weren't all in buying low on Devin Leary.
No.
It was more. A double-digit line is so difficult for this Pitt offense to cover.
But I was confident Pitt might cover it here.
Oh, you liked Pitt. Oh, okay.
And I was realistically going to go in on Pitt as my lock.
Yeah.
The caveat was that I've been saying all along, they're going to lose a dumb one. I don't know if this was the dumb one or just a dumb one, but this was definitely a dumb loss for them. It was a complete missed opportunity to start 4-0. First off, the defensive line was not nearly as dominant as it was a week ago when it had 7 sacks. The defense as a whole committed 5 offsides, 3 pass interferences, and a face mask penalty in the first half, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
The first half. The team finished with 13 penalties for over 120 yards. You know, a career.
This is, by the way, big picture, this is a really nice advantage that the Big Ten and Pac-12 have.
Oh,
seeing
yeah.
that penalties and discipline
big time
are becoming huge issues. We're like, we should relearn the cadence of snaps. we should relearn pass interference rules and, you know, roughing the passer rules. That's going to be, it seems like it should be. If a Big Ten, if Michigan State or Minnesota or Oregon or Cal come out and are committing 10, 12, 14 penalties a game, what a complete failure from a coaching staff, because that's been the obvious thing that has been in bright, shining neon lights early on.
A really sloppy showing for Pitt. A career high in passing yardage for Kenny Pickett, 411. Mm-hmm. But they couldn't close.
The good Kenny Pickett game, like you like to mention.
The good Kenny Pickett game. He's been good this year. But they could not close the deal when they got into Wolfpack territory. Six drives beyond the 50, just two touchdowns and three field goals, which in the end really did hurt them. 30-29 was your final score here. To be fair, I also owe an apology to NC State because I was dismissive of this team. I'm still not sold that they're taking a quantum leap forward, mind you. But Devin Leary, oh, buddy.
Devin Sicklerville, Leary. New Jersey, Ty.
The pride
of the episode. Yeah.
He looked great in his first start. 336, four touchdowns, including a game-winning drive against a really good defense.
Yeah, a little back shoulder action.
This is the guy who was named the starter, but he missed a bunch of practices due to contact tracing, given circumstances. And so this was the first time we actually got to see him out there on the field. But man, oh man, he looked really, really sharp.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it seems like he is going to be the answer. They didn't succeed a ton down the field, but they won the game. They won at Pitt. They were able to pick on corners pretty consistently for Pitt, which is unusual given where Pitt's defense has been these last couple years. And Pitt not being able to run the ball straight at NC State, which teams have been able to do, that for sure hurt the Panthers. And NC State showing some fight. They've won games with multiple quarterbacks. I don't know what their defense is going to look like long term. You give up that much to Kenny Pickett, I get worried for the other quarterbacks the Wolfpack will be facing. But this applies to, I mean, they were so bad last year. And I'm never going to be enormously happy watching a Tim Beck offense. So I'm going to withhold some degree of optimism. But if they can be entertaining, then I will watch more NC State football. Good win.
Let's stay in the state of North Carolina. Let's talk about the Tar Heels, even though they played in Chestnut Hill. They win.
Almost gave this away. Yeah,
they win 26-22 over Boston College. The deal here is this. Phil Jurkovec threw a touchdown pass with 45 seconds left. Made it a 24-22 game. They obviously go for two to try and tie it up. It's picked off. It's returned all the way by Trey Morrison for North Carolina. That's how you end up with a 26-22 final score. I think it's hard to figure out how much we should read into this from a Carolina standpoint. Remember, they've been idle since September the 12th because of the virus, because of a scheduled bye week in there. So again, another deal. They're out for a couple weeks. Mack Brown was concerned about having so much time off. 10 penalties and a turnover. Some really dumb mental errors. They did not feel in this game like a team that should be ranked 12th. Now, again, sliding scale, weird season. They've had all this time out. We'll have to wait and see what happens. But they've got Virginia Tech next week in Chapel Hill. We'll talk about Tech next and some of their own trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
But what do you take away from this? Anything? Given the fact that this is a close road win over a team in BC that they should be a lot better than.
Yeah, Boston College adjusted really well defensively in the second half, which is not a huge surprise given Jeff Hafley's reputation and the smarts that I think he had. God, my English is just disaster today.
I think BC should be instantly added to our all pluck list in 2020.
All pluck list.
They're
surprisingly
plucky.
Competent.
Yeah. They're not a finished product, but they're going to be a tough out.
The offense is still kind of a rough watch. They threw the ball a ton. You know, you look at Phil Jurkovec's final line and was like, I've got seven cars. And you're like, well, they're all 1989 Acura Legends. Cool. You have seven cars worth a combined $9,200. Yeah. 300 yards. And the big thing is he didn't throw a pick. What Boston College didn't do was beat themselves. And North Carolina, I think the actual story from North Carolina, I'm sorry, you were still on the 89 after Legends.
That's too much. Continue. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Sorry. It's okay. The big takeaway I had is Michael Carter is one of the most fun watches in the country at running back for North Carolina. And they, you know, we thought about what North Carolina's offense is going to look like. Sam Howell's going to be throwing it a ton. They're the pseudo air raid, spready type team. Their most dangerous weapon on offense actually might be Michael Carter. I mean, Sam Howell is going to control these games and he has the highest ceiling, but Michael Carter on the edge is scary fun to watch.
26 to 22 is your final.
Rough two-point conversion attempt.
Yeah, not great,
just
Bob.
Just Phil Jurkovec throwing into like 44 baby blue jerseys.
Not great.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech with, I would say...
Can we not talk about this game all that much beyond mentioning Khalil Herbert was a revelation? Is there much to say?
An amazing backdoor cover by Duke. Down 10, okay. 5 seconds left. They kick a field goal. As time expires, I don't know when people grabbed the game, if people threw a few shekels on this or not, because when we previewed it, it was 10.5. I have a friend who teased it down to like 7.5, which is just a really bad beat. The two things that I'd say about Tech here that we'll move on, they are still super shorthanded. They were out 21 guys, including Hendon Hooker, two full-time coaches.
Yeah.
They've been patching this thing together through 2 weeks of action with duct tape and chicken wire and your boy Khalil Herbert.
I was going to say, does that make Braxton Burmeister duct tape? Is that what he is to you? Potentially, yeah.
Duct tape works most of the time.
That's true.
So,
he patched things up. Khalil Herbert was incredible. Over, 300 plus all-purpose yardage?
Yeah.
All-purpose yards in this game. So, yeah, full-on dude for Khalil Herbert. And more fight from Duke. Didn't shoot themselves in the foot and were able to run the ball, were able to connect downfield a little bit, but they have issues. Good fight, but they need to do more in first and second quarters. Virginia Tech, not a ton of success through the air, but Virginia Tech is just, they're winning with seven dudes on the field. And that's impressive. I can't hate on Virginia Tech on any level for winning how they have to win right now.
Duke off to its worst start since 2006. 0-3.
Yep.
All right. Quickly, elsewhere in the ACC, we had Clemson 41-23 over Virginia. They jumped out to a 24-3 lead. And this wasn't any kind of epic blowout. UVA hung around enough to cover, but
I thought Virginia's offense was fine.
Brennan Armstrong was
pretty impressive.
I thought
given
he looked
the circumstances.
Good. The pride of Shelby, Ohio, mind you.
Oh, there it is. Clemson too much to handle. They have some things to clean up on defense for sure before they are playing what we presume to be high level competition. But I don't know how much you can actually criticize Clemson seriously right now.
They've got Miami on deck, which will be our featured game, I'm sure, next week. We had Florida State. This was like the nervous face emoji.
I'm trying to understand what you're doing right now. You are referencing an emoji to describe an adjective.
I think that's right. That's right.
All right. I'm very old now.
Florida State started true freshman Tate Rodemaker, which also sounds like the name of the German blade factory that I know Harry's likes to talk about.
Yeah.
They shifted to Jordan Travis very quickly. He did a good job leading the Noles back. They didn't grab the lead in this game until late in the fourth quarter, 41-24 over Jacksonville State. Not a great showing.
Not losing to Jacksonville State. I believe the Gamecocks. Is that correct?
Yes.
Not losing to Jacksonville State is the most electric win in recent Florida State history. Jordan Travis is a fun watch. If he can do more of that against
He's
ACC
teams
as a dual threat. He was pretty good downfield as well. Okay. Jacksonville State, who knows? But Florida State still has a bunch of issues on defense. But Mike Norvell's first win as a Seminole. Okay.
And 66-14, Wake Forest over your Campbell Fighting Camels.
Listen, my father-in-law won money betting the Campbell under. So shout out Demon Deacon defense.
All right. Real quick, other games. We had Cincinnati 28-7 over USF.
Don't just gloss over this monstrosity. Continue, though. Continue talking about this game.
This was a game with 8 interceptions and a fumble.
8 interceptions in a game. In a college football game involving a ranked team and a fumble, right?
They didn't throw 8 interceptions. I think they threw 3.
No, 8 total interceptions.
But 8 interceptions total is just a mind-bending number for anybody.
Desmond Ridder, your boy, threw how many?
He threw three? Yeah.
He threw three of them. Ty, I think I sent you an audio file that I didn't tell you about called Orch, O-R-C-H.
Okay.
It's the sound of an orchestra warming up. I don't know if it's available to you to play out loud right now.
I didn't know about it, but.
Okay. So.
I can add it in post.
Please, here it is. Here is the orchestra warming up for me to tell you as I load up the play-by-play drive summary of this Cincinnati South Florida USF game. Where is it? Okay, here we go. Ty, you ready?
Do it.
Interception, 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 fumble, punt, touchdown, miss field goal, punt, downs, punt, interception, interception, punt, touchdown, end of half, miss field goal, downs, touchdown, 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 interception, 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 punt, 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 end of game, brother.
Did you practice that?
No, I never do.
Interception is four syllables.
Yeah, I've done enough of these. Interception, interception, interception.
All right.
Cincinnati USF, they make it easy.
SMU 30, Memphis 27. They booted the entire SMU student section for not following protocols, which is a nice little anecdote here. Memphis was playing for the first time since September the 5th. And
yeah,
not uncommon, as I think we're discovering, that they would be a bit rusty out there, and they looked it. 30-27 is your final. What else do we
Sugar
got
Shane
here?
Bichelle, incredible. Incredible in this game.
Yeah.
Bummer in this game, Reggie Roberson, who had completely torched Memphis DBs who tried to hang with him. He left, I think, with a non-contact injury to his knee, which is kind of awful to hear. Let's hope it's just a weird tweak and he'll be back soon, but you always worry. Also, a nice all-purpose weapon for SMU, Ulysses Bentley the Fourth,
love
I want to say.
Love that
Ulysses
name.
Bentley the Fourth. And if we can just reflect for 4.5 moments on how great a decision it was for Shane Bichelle to move on from Texas and align himself with SMU and Sonny Dykes. And I don't know if this is a difference maker of a move for quarterbacks looking about which school they should end up at. And if a school like SMU is, you're better off going to a group of five program who has like a definitively great system and quarterback development history and a head coach and offensive coordinator. But wow, did his fortunes turn? I love it. He's a joy to watch. Memphis had a tough time. Brady White threw a couple picks, but man, the SMU offense, when it's rolling, because they've lost a bunch straight to Memphis, I believe. And for them to, what's the word, that something with Schneid?
Get off the Schneid.
They got off the Schneid against Memphis. So good for the Stangs. I still need to get that Dallas D alt logo for SMU on some sort of t-shirt or hoodie or hat or something like that. I love that look. They didn't wear it yesterday, I don't believe, but such a great look. That's just an aside from me.
All right. The only other action I have here, BYU wins 45-14 over Louisiana Tech. We had Army.
Wait, winning. You're just skipping over Zach Wilson dissecting Louisiana Tech?
Yeah.
BYU possibly undefeated, although it's more difficult now with Boise State and San Diego State on their schedule. But BYU is filthy, man. Zach Wilson.
It helps that they're getting a bit of a running start, though, right? And continuing
totally,
with our theme here, they will be more in game shape than some of these other squads that they're going to end up playing.
But they laid the wood, man.
They were
45-14. Zach Wilson was 24 of 25, 26, something like that.
Yeah, he's good.
That's me making my Robert De Niro like, pretty good. Pretty good.
We had folks writing in about Zach Wilson. We had some other folks writing in about Coastal Carolina. I believe the Chanticleers.
Ty. Let me tell you something. If you do not finish in the top 5% of your class, you will never get an internship at Grayson McCall. You will never get an internship at Grayson McCall. So just get that out of your mind. He's actually a crazy fun quarterback, young dude. And Coastal Carolina, the pride of Conway, South Carolina, Ty.
What up?
Keep an eye on them. Keep an eye. Really interesting.
And Army wins 55-23 over Abilene Christian, who's played everybody. They're the new Austin Peay. That's all I got. Anything else, Dan?
Willie Taggart won. FAU finally played. They beat Charlotte. The Owls. Western Kentucky got their first win. They beat Middle Tennessee on the road. Did you see what the Air Force defense did to Navy?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Ooh. This is going to be a long year for the midshipmen. This is going to be a long year. Southern Miss fired their coach. Interim, young guy. They beat North Texas on the road. North Texas is going to be a long year, too. It's going to be a long year for the Mean Green, unfortunately. Georgia Southern, a nice win against Monroe, who they're not that good. But no, it was fun. It was exciting. The end of that, especially the end of that Iowa State-Oklahoma game. I don't know how, I don't know what the capacity is percentage-wise, but that was the first game of the year where I was like, oh, there's like a crowd situation involved in the outcome. And it was very strange given everything, but that was new and fun for me. So that's everything I have. That is, I'm tapped out.
All right. Well, this has been fun. We appreciate.
How does next week look, by the way?
Appreciate everyone stopping by. Next week looks, well, it's highlighted by Miami. Highlighted by Miami against Clemson.
Clemson.
I think
Tennessee, Georgia.
We got Tennessee, Georgia. We've got the Red River Shootout.
Mm-hmm.
We got Florida A&M.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Pitt on the road at BC, which is not certainly headline billing here, but at the same time, we'll see what Pitt does in that repeat performance. Alabama against the Fighting Lane Kiffins on the road in Oxford against Mississippi. Mississippi State on the road at Kentucky. Got some action next week. Yeah. Notre Dame should be back in action against Florida State. We'll see.
Oh, okay. Kansas State, TCU.
Yeah.
Florida State, Notre Dame, you mentioned. Oh, man. Do you know what we have? Jim Boeheim, Mike Krzyzewski, 2-3 zone, slapping the floor, the Greg Paulus Spectacular, Duke Syracuse.
All right.
Don't watch Duke Syracuse unless you're being paid to work the game. If you're running cable for Duke Syracuse, don't watch Duke Syracuse. Don't do that.
Don't.
And even if you're running cable, you probably have an app on your phone that'll let you watch Tennessee, Georgia or something.
Oh, God. Well, this has been fun. It always is. We appreciate everyone out there for calling on in, giving us your thoughts on what transpired this weekend, calling in the Reverb line at 408-VERBAL-1.
Yes.
Don't forget to follow along on social media. We are on Instagram. We are on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube at youtube.com/the Solid Verbal. You can go on out to our website at solidverbal.com and you can find all the subscribe links there.
Mm-hmm.
You can also sign up for our newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
I also did want to give a shout out to, I know I talked about the college football blitz earlier. I wanted to give a shout out to, again, our new friends or our longtime friends over at Learfield IMG College. If I'm going to open up the kimono, as you like to say.
Don't and be very careful. Be very careful. The ink is not yet dry.
Another secret weapon. College Football Rewind.
Yeah, that's true.
They recap everything on a Sunday morning in an hour. Same deal. They take the local feeds from the biggest games. They give you a chance to really relive the energy from inside the booth. College Sports Now, if you look up the podcast, is where you can find the College Football Rewind.
Fewer kimono and 1989 Acura Legend references on College Football Rewind. Should also mention, Ty, scheduling, just housekeeping stuff.
Yeah.
We are not, obviously not this week, but in the next couple weeks, I want to say, the Sunday show is going to move to Mondays, correct?
Oh, right.
But we know that some people really like, what am I supposed to do with my lawn? What am I supposed to do? It's how I drown out my dumb kids. We know some people really like having the show on Sunday. So we are going to try to figure something out for you. But big picture on the feed, the recap show is going to Mondays at, I believe, 6 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah, we'll try to keep it 6 a.m.
If I could recommend anything regarding that news, stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
More to come.
More to come. Daniel, this has been fun. Pleasure to speak with you as always, and a pleasure to speak with all y'all out in the Verballerhood, Dan.
Yes, always.
For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrand, thank you so much for downloading, for listening, for playing along with our stupidity here. We will talk to you all on Wednesday. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.